Word first from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to read from Matthew 25, verse 14 to the end. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is the Word of God. So let us hear it, listening carefully to it. Beginning verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. The Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knew that I reap where I sow not, gather where I have not strewn. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God bless this reading, the reading of his holy word, to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus. Once again, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your word. We pretty much get it. We understand what thou art saying. May we not only understand it some more, but practice it. Put it into our lives more and more. For again, we hear your word. May our hearing be all the more clear through the preaching upon it. In your name we ask these things and pray. Be with us now. Amen. The text, my text this morning, I'm going to take from 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, which comports nicely with this parable, where the apostle writes in his first epistle, in chapter 4 of it, as everyone has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The 3 points of my message this morning come from this verse. I'm going to talk about grace, even the manifold grace of God in the first place. The second, I'm going to talk about the gift or gifts, the endowment that God gives us. And then lastly, being good stewards. So that's the outline of the message. Grace, manifold grace, gifts, good stewards. Now, obviously, the Lord is speaking to and about his people. In the gospel account, he was speaking to two or about two of his people, but one that was not faithful, even though he was given some things. He was given gifts, but he wasn't faithful. And there are a lot of people like that. Go find out on the day that instead of well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my joy, you're going to hear, away from me, I never knew you. But Lord, I did this and I did that in your name, and I went to you and I went, I never knew you. Now, I remind you of that because I think you have clear minds. You can know that you're saved. Be confident that you're saved, that you're walking in the way, that you're doing what the Lord has called you to do, to be to the new obedience. It doesn't have to be a mystery to you. But there are some people that delude themselves. And I pray that none, not such a one, is here at Calvary Church, whether a member or not. But I want to talk about grace. And in this passage, as I pointed out, God is speaking to his people. Only his people are given grace. There is no grace given to unbelief. Now, we call it particular grace. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says grace. Some say grace is always particular. Now, I don't want to get into the theology of common grace and what I think about it. I do think you can use that term, but it has to be used carefully, not like Kuiper used it, but others. But I don't want to get into that. It just gets too confusing right now. Grace is particular. It's to his people, and only to his people. Because God is the God of all grace, you can only get it from God. You can't get it from sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. You can't get it from Walmart. You can't get it from this one or that one. I can't give it to you. You can't give it to anyone else, your son or your daughter or whatever. Only God, the God of all grace, the majestic God, the wondrous God, the adorable, the perfect in all his attributes. He is his attributes, right? God doesn't just have perfect love. He is perfect love, right? God just doesn't have goodness as if goodness or something like that existed outside of God and he has the most of it. No, God is goodness, the source of all goodness. And God is the source of all grace. And he distributes that grace according to his will, right? According to his good pleasure. The other thing about God we want to mention here, we want to keep in mind, others have, is that he is the creator of all things. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? All the beasts, the forest beasts are mine. Each mountain bird to me is known. Whatever roams the field, I own. The psalmist sings. So, God owns everything. He's the creator. And he distributes it according to his will. And his will, as revealed in the scripture, is that he has chosen a people, a peculiar people. Sometimes we call an elect people. According to his good pleasure, to give grace. And how do we know that we are such a people? Because once we were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we have been made alive in Christ so that we can hear this word, we can see it, we can perceive that it is to me. It leaps off the page into my heart, into my head, into my heart, and it changes me. It molds and shapes me more and more every single day into the image of Jesus Christ. And I love him more and more. And I love his people. Although I have to work at that, right? Because his people, they're sinners, just like me. And so when you say, well, you know, the pastor, he's kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't like him as much as I used to. Well, consider yourself. You know, you're a sinner too. You have people that don't like you. You don't like that, do you? Do you like to hear somebody say, I don't like your daughter or your son or your grandchild? That hurts, doesn't it? Why do you say that? God's chosen people. Full of his grace, full of his promise, for whom Christ died. Why do you ever say, I don't like him or her? How could you? Well, there's some things that he does that aren't good. Yeah, okay, that's, we need to critique people and critique ourselves. But we need to be humble about this because God has shown us his grace and his mercy. Do you realize that the preponderance of people living in the world today are dead, still dead in their trespass and sin, and they are destined for hell and damnation? Forever alienated from the commonwealth of God and from God's heaven. They will not come into the new heavens and the new earth because they don't have grace. They haven't been given the grace of God to see themselves in the Word of God and all the promises of God, yea and amen in Christ towards them. But you have it. Grace. The manifold grace of God. That's a big word. Manifold means many. There's many graces. But the grace of God that has been given to each and every one of us is that I am able to now call him Abba, Father. My Father. Which art in heaven. Why? Why did he do that for me? Pleased him to do it. For so, it pleased him. That's why. I know I belong to him. And because I belong to him, and because I belong to his household, which is the church of Jesus Christ, and a particular church, we're always entering into the kingdom through a church in particular, and receive the sacraments in that particular church, that place. I become a steward. Now we'll come to that in a minute. What is a steward? In the house of God, Church of Jesus Christ. A particular church. Calvary Church, for example. That's where you belong. Why would you think otherwise? I belong to the Church Universal. What does that mean? I go here and I go there, and I'm part of this and I'm part of that. Aren't you Mr. Wonderful? Think about how you are a steward in the house of God. But before that, let's get to the blessed gift that the apostle speaks of here in chapter 4, verse 10. Unto everyone he's received the gift. We know in the parable, it was talents. 5, 2, 1, 10. Here it's called the gift. More like an endowment. Endowment can be huge or it could be small. It's like a talent. You can have one talent, you can have 10 talents. It's an endowment. An endowment could be certain kinds of abilities that God gives us, natural abilities, monies, all kinds of things. Every member has received an endowment, a package of gifts, both spiritual and natural, that God has blessed him or her with. And the first thing that we all need to note, and I've noted it before, is that we have received so great a salvation, we have all become prophets, priests, and kings in Christ. We have all the gift to devote ourselves in love towards him. We have all become children by adoption, right? And so we all been given, as part of our endowment, that spiritual gift to devote ourselves to him. And that's where it's rooted, right? In our devotion to him and to each other. Now, we all know what devotion means. We all practice it. We're devoted to our families, particularly our children. It's not wrong. That's a good thing, right? Be devoted to every detail in their life. Well, that's not where devotion ends, does it? For some people, yes. They're devoted to their family, maybe a few close friends, relatives. That's it. you know that that's not right. That's just selfish. That is like the one who has the one talent and goes ahead and buries it. You're going to find out. Not any of you, right? Someday, they're going to find out that their devotion amounts to nothing in God's eyes. Because they didn't use their endowment properly. Not having the grace of God in their hearts, they cannot. And so we have this parable where stewards are given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Now you know what a steward is, right? A steward, generally at the time, was a household slave. No matter how gifted that steward was, no matter what his or her abilities might have been, they were always subservient to the master. They belonged to the master, who was their lord. It was called that. Lord, master. Well, we, in a much deeper sense, are slaves to Christ, to righteousness. We have, we say, I no longer belong to myself. I belong to Jesus, right? I belong to Jesus. And all the gifts and all the talents and all the ability that I have is His. And I need to use it for His glory. Right? And do I know how to use it for His glory? Am I confused about how to use my gifts, my talents, my abilities, whatever, for His glory? Is it just for your own? Is that for yourself and for your own? Is that the proper way, the proper use of it? I hope, like me, you're feeling somewhat convicted. Because we're all selfish. Right? Just like we're all proudful. We all say things we shouldn't say and do things we shouldn't do and think things we shouldn't think, right? We all. So no one's pointing the finger at just you. Finger should be pointed at all of us. God is pointing. And He is telling us here that I have given you an endowment to use for my glory and for others, especially in the household of faith. Now, it's been said of Calvary Church, just to point out by others many times, not just one, that it is a loving church. It seems like it's a loving church. To me, I have experienced that. A lot of people have said that. And I think so, too. What's that commercial? Don't let it go to your head. Let it go to your heart. And amplify it, but not to your head. We all need to do better. We all need to be encouraged to do better, to love God more and to love each other. And to be used, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. And the works that He is talking about are works in the body, the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Your church, your particular body, particular church, just like your particular family. You're not a father or a mother, a sister or a brother to every family, to your own. Again, you're not a member to every single church in the area or way out there. You're a member here. And that should be your first concern. Not your last concern or your only concern, but your first concern, right? And you need to check it out. Is it? Where would I rather be? My own house. I like to go on vacation, but there's no place like home. I go to other churches, but there's no place like my church. That's not the attitude. Something's wrong. You can blame it on the pastor or the elders, but it's you. You know it's you. Every particular of our lives, dear people, is given to us by God. Right? Where we live, time we're born, people in the family that we have, our abilities, our talents, church to which we belong, all given to us by God. He's in control of it all. Every particular of our lives, He rules, right? And each and every one of us is an individual. No two people are alike. Every single one of us is different and has different talents, abilities, gifts. So we're all useful. And if I have five talents and you have two or one, does that give me the right to despise you and say you're worthless or you're useless or he can't do it, he doesn't do this, or he's lazy because he and I'm not? Is that the attitude that we're to take with us? When every single one of us is an individual and be given ability and be given talent to be used of God in His house. Just like we do at home, as fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. We do it to everyone else. Now we're called stewards. God of all grace bestows upon us the many and various blessings of grace, whereby we are graced in the beloved. We live our lives, yet not we, but Christ in us and through us. According to the new life, we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we fail, and when we fall, because we are His people full of grace, God is full of grace and mercy. He shows grace and mercy to us by forgiving us all our sins and cleansing us within and causing us to repent and walk in newness of life. We are called to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling as rational, moral, willing creatures do in His sight. Giving Christ all the credit and all the glory for whatever we do. We are responsible. As stewards in His house, He gives us what we have, our abilities and such, and our gifts, and He makes us responsible. According to the parable of Jesus, we're responsible to use these things. in our families, of course, amongst our friends and neighbors, and in particular in the church. We are to be his witnesses in every detail of life to everyone. And so, as one writer put it, at all times, we must be ready to give a cup of water to the thirsty, a slice of bread to the hungry, lodging to the stranger, and a visit to the needy. There may even be a Lazarus at our doorstep, filthy, full of sores, and hungry. Inasmuch as we extend a hand to one of the least of the brethren, we have done it unto Christ. You know all this. I have told you nothing new. I have reminded you and myself that we are called every single day in all the details of our lives and all the relationships as stewards of the gifts and the graces that God has given to us. Now, there are some people that say that on Judgment Day, we are going to be judged according to all the things we've done in the body, whether good or not. And that everything that we have done is going to pass before us on Judgment Day. And those things that are bad, that were not good, are going to be burned up and be treated like straw in the fire. And the only thing that's going to remain for us in glory and sort of positions us in the new heaven and new earth are the things that have been done for Christ. Everything else is going to be burned up. Now, that's what some say that the scriptures mean. And they say we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. We're all going to be judged according to the things done in our body. That may be. I'm beginning to think it is. And if you want to know what position you're going to have in heaven, well, you're not going to have a whole lot of things because it's rubbish what we've done. But those things done for the glory of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, according to His Word and His work in us to will and do, those things will remain and those things will position us. And so we need to examine our lives. But you see, you don't have to have all the great gifts in order to be positioned well in the new heavens and the new earth. I want to tell you a little story in conclusion of a woman who had this infirmity that landed her or placed her in this facility called Pine Rest, a nursing home. And she couldn't do much of anything because of this illness. She was very debilitated. And she felt, she was a Christian, she felt like she was useless. That couldn't accomplish anything for Jesus anymore. That's a lot of people feel that way when they are ill and sick and suffering. It's not unusual, I'm sure. Cannot be used of a family, friends, neighbors. So, in order to take away the monotony in her life, she was placed, probably by the staff, talking with them, weeping with them and such. They placed her in the washroom. And this place, this facility, had a washroom where people would go that had problems, emotional problems, mainly depression. And they would wash away, they called it the washroom because they would wash away their tears. Quite literally, but also in a psychological manner, or an emotional manner of some sort, sharing their concerns. And she was set up in that washroom where the depressed would go to wash away their tears. (Clears throat) what she would say to people who came in. She didn't preach the gospel. She didn't know how. She didn't exegete the scriptures and carefully sort out things from the Word of God. She just would tell the people that came in, look, you need to pray. I'll pray with you. God knows what you're going through. He understands. He hears you. And He's going to respond. He'll take care. Well, one of these women that had met her in the washroom and now recovered and was out of the facility, she said that no one in that hospital helped me as much as the woman in the washroom. No one as much as the woman in the washroom. Whatever God has given you, whatever it is, however small, however great, use it for Him. And you will be blessed immeasurably in the time to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank Thee. We know that all good gifts come from You. And even those things that do not seem to go our way, we know that too, in the long run, will work out for Your glory and to Your glory and our good. We ask Thee now that we would be found as You have taught, having received the gift, ministering one to another, good stewards of the manifold grace, the many graces of God that are given to us. And may we look forward to hearing from Your precious, wonderful lips, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy forever. We know how best to do this. In Jesus Christ, to Him goes all the glory. And in His name we say these things and pray these things. Amen.